At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is great to be with you today because today we get to meet the 49ers 2025 practice squad, those 16 players that, man, let's be very, very honest and frank. One, throughout the entirety of the Shanahan regime, they have utilized the practice squad as well, if not better, than almost any team in the NFL. If I was an agent, which thank God I'm not, I would hate myself. I don't like agents, but I understand they serve a purpose. But if I was an agent, I would say, look, if you have a chance to go to the 49ers practice squad, you take it. They elevate, they reward, it is a big deal whenever you have guys like Emmanuel Mosley, Azeez Al-Shaair, Juwan Jennings, Matt Breida, Kaywan Williams, Raheem Mostert. Like, come on, man. Like Sam O, Evan Anderson, who just got released. We'll talk more about that. But we have 13 of the 16 names on the 49ers practice squad. Plus, the 49ers get some wide receiver help. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, which, look, is this a player that you're going to buy a jersey on or you're going to start in fantasy or any of the? No. Do the 49ers need wide receiver help? Yes. Do the 49ers need veteran wide receiver help? Yes. Do the 49ers have the worst wide receiver core in the NFL for week one? Yes. Any help from a veteran that has run routes and can do NFL things is a huge addition. Plus, MVS is coming from Seattle, who you're playing week one. That's important. And number two, he's been playing in Kubiak's scheme. So you have somebody that knows the verbiage, knows the scheme, knows the routes. And let's just be very clear and honest. In Kyle Shanahan's scheme, you have an X wide receiver that can stretch the field vertically and can run clear out routes. I mean, MVS might not get targets, but you got to respect him deep. You have to. And this dude is going to be running 20-plus clear-out routes where he's streaking down the sidelines without even looking back at the quarterback because his job is to occupy the safety and one other defender. He's going to do that 20 times week one. That in and of itself is huge. Yeah, that wide receiver room is rough. Now, it won't be whenever you get Brandon Ayuk back, when Juwan Jennings can do anything, when Jacob Cowan can do anything. Right, like when DeMarcus Robinson's no longer suspended, Ricky Pearsall stays healthy. Those five, that is a quality. That is a good wide receiver core. But whatever you're looking at, Ricky Pearsall, and as great as he is, that's great. Sky Moore, Jordan Watkins, an injured Juwan Jennings, that ain't going to cut it in today's NFL. And, week one, divisional game, what's Seattle's MO? Great secondary. That's the way they built their team. Kind of rough. You're going to run the ball a lot. Thank you to all the hashtag CCs. Tobias was first today, all the way from Sweden. I love it. And yeah, we got back Sebastian Valdes. That's probably, the biggest takeaway yesterday, or the biggest negative, not takeaway, was, man, wish they could have kept Sebastian Valdes. They didn't, but they got him back. Not one 49ers player was claimed. Not one. This is a testament to where the 2025 roster is. I've been yelling it from the mountaintops. You lack depth. You do not have quality depth on this roster. Not one of your players were claimed. Now, some of the veterans, Chad Surratt just signed with the Seattle Seahawks. Talk about a switcheroo. We get MVS. They get Chad Surratt. And Jeff Wilson Jr. chose to go all the way back to Miami, which I get it because they don't have very many running backs. We have more than they do now with the trade of Brian Robinson. So he went back to Miami. So two players have, quote unquote, you have lost, but none waived for the 49ers. Now, the 49ers did add a player. They added one. It wasn't me, Notorious. I did not make the roster. Defensive tackle Jordan Jefferson. And I just finished a video breakdown on our Patreon and on the 49ersrush.com. So if you want to go watch Jordan Jefferson, second-year player out of LSU, was a fourth-round pick, 6'4", 316. Here are my film notes on him. Now, again, you can go sign up at the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon, free of charge, 7-day free trial. You can watch him. You can watch Brian Robinson. Like, we've got every single draft pick, video breakdowns. Go watch them. And it's me telling you what they can and can't do and highlighting the different positives. Well, here's what I came away with after watching three games of Jordan Jefferson since this morning. Another big-bodied run stuffer. That's what you're getting. And he's on the 53. He's not on the practice squad. He is on the 53. The 49ers waived Evan Anderson to bring on Jordan Jefferson. Now, I'm sure they're hoping he goes unclaimed and you bring Evan Anderson back on the practice squad. That's the hope. We'll see. They have room for it. But let's focus on the newest 49er. Another big-bodied run stuffer. Played in the A-gap almost exclusively for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Loves the two-gap. That means at LSU, they did this too, where very similar to Alfred Collins, very similar to C.J. West. This is another one of those guys. He will lift up the offensive ball carrier and do this, where he peaks on both sides and kind of two gaps, right? So you get a lot. He's not your penetrating style defensive tackle. The 49ers have changed almost completely exactly what it is they're trying to accomplish with their defensive tackles. It is stop the run. It is stuff the run. It is stuff the run. It is stuff the run. And that is it. That's it. They are not these penetrating three technique bull rushers. No, no, no. That's not what Jordan Jefferson does. Quality run game doesn't offer much in the pass rush. Does not. But it's crazy to say he's one of the veterans. He has more experience than almost everybody in that damn room. So, gap integrity is his best trait. He always stays where he's supposed to stay, which I do like. And he can lose early. He gets reached by athletic centers and guards and tackles, but he can scoop himself out and fight to get back at his integrity. So even though he loses the rep early and it looks like he's out of place, he gets back to where he is. So, like, he is determined. Hustle, great, amazing hustler. I do like to see that. Not a lot to offer in the pass rush besides just collapsing the pocket a little bit, gets a couple tip balls, gets his hands up, pretty consistency. Pad level's a concern. Plays under his pads, not behind them. Like, he likes to peek. You always see his eyes. You know, he likes to read the play like a linebacker, which has its benefits, but you're going to lose a lot of power. You're going to lose a lot of efficiency with those type of defensive tackles. But that's what Khalil Davis is. That's what Alfred Collins is. That's what C.J. West is. The 49ers have an M.O., and that is what they are going after. That's where it is. What's up, Michael? Appreciate all the CT. Oh, what's up, Rob Lauder? I got to give a credit to Rob Lauder. The 49ers signed running back Sincere McCormick. And so Rob Lauder of the Striking Gold podcast, I'm putting his name attached to this. He tweeted this out. A genuine and heartfelt addition to the practice squad found in Sincere McCormick. You get it? That's the definition of sincere. I love it. Anyway, the 49ers do bring back a veteran running back. But it's not who we thought it was going to be at Jeff Wilson. It's Sincere McCormick, which was announced before Jeff Wilson. So I don't really know the order of operation there. I know the 49ers did want Jeff Wilson back, but they don't get him. They do get Sincere McCormick. That pun comes to you. Compliments of the Striking Go podcast. You guys are the best. Appreciate all the hashtags, CCs. What's up, Tim? We got Sean, Darren. I love it. And yeah, today is a happy Wednesday. The best news, you get wide receiver help in MVS. You get another younger and cheaper. I'm going to keep harping on that bit. Defensive tackle in Jordan Jefferson. And you get Sebastian Valdez back. I think that those are probably the three most important. Now, let's go through the rest. I'm just going to list off the rest of the practice squad that I've signed so far. Wide receiver Junior Bergens brought back. I was kind of against this, but whatever. Defensive tackle Sebastian Valdez, that's most important. Probably second most important, defensive end Trevis Gibson. A lot of people were hoping he would make the roster as well. Got him back. linebacker Curtis Robinson, number 4. 5, running back Sincere McCormick. And Curtis Robinson is one of those guys that could be elevated because you only have 5 backers. You have 5 quality backers, but you could elevate Curtis Robinson to help with special teams. He's a stud special team. Cornerback Eli Apple. You know, you bring in the corner, like not Dallas Flowers. I think he's a little upset because I think he felt he earned the job. I would agree with him. But Eli Apple on the practice squad, not Dallas Flowers. That is a shock to me. But Eli Apple does have experience, could be elevated, could play. William Bradley King, defensive lineman. Robbie Chosen, wide receiver. Jalen Graham, linebacker. Drake Nugent, center. He's been with us now for a few years. Wide receiver Malik Turner. Tight end Braden Willis. You were able to sneak him past. Nobody was going to claim him. So you got Tonjes and you got Braden Willis. And then interior offensive lineman Nick Sakel. Way too much bad tape. Nobody was taking that one. So that's your 13-man practice squad. Now, the crazy thing is, no Dallas Flowers, no Russell Gage, right? John Lynch just a week ago on the radio said, hey, Russell Gage is going to be ready for us week one. He'll be out there with us week one. Well, guess what? He ain't there. What is the hiccup? Was the MVS signing enough to say, you know what, maybe we don't need Russell Gage? But if that was the case, why would you get Malik Turner? Why would you get Robbie Chosen? Why would you get Junior Bergen? A little bit of a, we got to see what that's going to look like. No kickers have been added, observe. He says, Jake Booty is still here. Our forever question, Kyle Shanahan, the front office, no more excuses. You've been questioning Kyle Shanahan for years now. Yeah, there's no reason to change now if that's been your take. But yeah, no problem. The Jake Moody thing is a head-scratcher, but when so light, depth is such an issue on this 53-man roster. I get why you don't have 2 kickers. You can just sign a kicker off the street and set them in. They don't have to practice with you. But yeah, I mean, I said they're going to run with Jake Moody, and I think, yeah, my opinions have been made known there. That's what's up, Jordan. Hey, John, always glad to catch you live. Bummer about Evan Anderson. That's the negative. Now, the 49ers have 3 practice squad openings still available. 3. You're hoping Evan Anderson goes uncleared. You could bring him back. You definitely want him back. But the 49ers went heavy on defensive line. They are loaded on defensive line as far as number of bodies and offensive line number of bodies as well. You have 11 defensive tackles on your 53 with Sebastian Valdez, with Trevis Gibson, with William Bradley King. You have 14 guys you're pulling from. If you're combining the practice squad with what you have on the active roster, like, you got youth everywhere. You have that. Evan Anderson, one of my favorite players, but he got injured, improved in his 2 weeks back, but, you know, not playing at the level that he was at last offseason. We'll have to see there. Phillip, a little gamemanship with MVS and Chaz Surratt going to Seattle. Yeah, I do like that. What's up, Trainwreck? Glad to see you here, man. Big brick in the house. I love it. Michael, should we be worried about weeks 1 through 3? Yes. 1, you should have been worried about weeks 1 through 3, no matter what anyway. Whenever you have by far this much youth on the roster, this much inexperience on the roster, and so many players banged up. I mean, 10 out of 11 rookies made this roster, right? The only rookie that did it was Junior Bergen, and you brought him back on the practice squad. Youth is hard to depend upon early in the NFL. Now, it gets more complicated whenever you add in all those wide receiver issues, and it gets more complicated the fact that you have not one, but 2 divisional matchups in the first 3 weeks of the season. Yeah, Seattle week 1, Arizona Cardinals week 3. You had 1 combined win in the division last year. You got blanked by almost everybody. Now, the 1 game that you did win was at Seattle last year. So you're like, maybe that'll carry over. But Seattle, Sam Darnold, new coach, new play caller, new offensive line, new whatever. Now he's looked pretty good at training camp, but come on now, that's not the NFL. So should you be worried? I am more concerned about weeks 1 and 3 than I am almost any other week in the season. Now, I'm not saying those are the hardest games or even that they are the quote-unquote most important games. but they sure as hell carry a lot of weight. At Seattle week one, I would say is a top three important game this season. The Arizona Cardinals at home week three, I would say is a top eight important game. You always got to start with your division opponents. You win your division, good things happen. You don't, it's pretty hard to have anything good happen unless you're a wild card team and you squeak in. You got to win divisional games. Have to. Now you play the Rams week five. Then you go on a hiatus. So here are your division games, right? Week one at Seattle. Week three, home Cardinals. Week five, short week for both teams at Los Angeles. But then you don't play another division game for 5 weeks. Week 10, home Rams. Week 11 at Arizona. So then you got back-to-back there. And then you conclude the season week 18 at home versus Seattle. So, like, you got to win your division games. You went 1-5. Kyle Shanahan has owned the NFC West. Division games, even when the Rams were having their most success, Shanahan was still beating that ass consistently in the head-to-head matchups. But last year was kind of that one time where it was like, man, division's getting away from you. 1-5, but you couldn't stop anybody in the fourth quarter. A lot of that's Nick Sorensen, Brian Schneider, all those different things. Right here, Jordan, back from the offseason, family over football, always family over football. But it's time to get engaged again. That's right. It's funny. We say family over football. My son's at his dentist appointment now. I took him to the dentist appointment this morning. We sat there for an hour after our scheduled appointment. And I went and talked to the lady. I was like, can I just pay for everything now? She was like, yeah, sure. So I paid for everything. My son's 17. He's a senior. I was like, all right, man. Hey, you just Uber home. I got to go to work. We got a practice squad. So I say, my wife, if she knew this, she'd be mad at me, but she don't listen to the show. So that's on her. anyway, always family over football. And, you know, that's why I podcast, because I chose family over the coaching world, which was a lot. It was a lot. Pizza Warrior, John, have you seen that Serrata signing with the Seahawks? Yes, I love it. Let's talk. Ooh, this is the next one we're going to be talking about. KB, are you with me? Oh, yeah. We got the whole thing going over here. Kendrick Bourne released after being requested for a release. I'm excited about this one. I want to talk about Kendrick Bourne and what this means. I think that this has a lot to do with the Russell Gage not signing right after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, from the man, Rob Lauder, Simple Jack here, says, would you bring back Kendrick Bourne? How do you think that position shakes out if they do? Yes. Now, Kendrick Bourne is going to have spots. The Patriots thought they could have traded him. It's so funny because Kendrick Bourne has almost been traded so many times. I remember when Kyle Shanahan said, this was after the 2020 season, that the Patriots tried to trade for Kendrick Bourne at the end of the 2020 season, but they couldn't do it because they didn't have any rosters. That was that crazy injured season. Kendrick Bourne then signs a huge contract with the Patriots. Didn't work out there, struggled to stay healthy, whatever else. But the Patriots kept him on their initial 53, and a lot of the Patriots beat writers and fans were upset because they were like, man, he has no shot, you know, at that salary. But the Patriots kind of balked at, dude, somebody's going to trade for him. Nobody did. Kendrick Bourne demands a release, or requests a release, I should say. They offer it. They give it to him. So he's released. He's a free agent. He gets to pick where he goes. But, I mean, Commanders, that's there. The 49ers are the obvious one. You can even look at, you know, what he did with Mike McDaniel. The Dolphins could use help. Like, it's not just the 49ers. Yes, the 49ers should bring him back. The 49ers have the worst wide receiver core in the NFL for week one, period. MVS and Kendrick Bourne would help. And, you know, Kendrick Bourne has played the X role, but I want MVS at that. I think that's what that's going to be. But Kendrick Bourne can also play that slot Juwan Jennings role. And so the one thing that the 49ers have intact at the wide receiver position is you have a Z, that Debo role, that Debo wide receiver role. That's Ricky Pearsall. That's all that you have. That's all that you have. You don't have a true X, and you don't have a true, you know, you want to call it F, you want to call it slot, you want to call it whatever, in 11 personnel. Now, the 49ers are going to run 11 personnel, but Kendrick Bourne could play the X and the slot. MVS can just play the X. That's all he is. That he does nothing else. You put him at slot and have him run a clear out route, but that's it. He doesn't run good routes. So if you got MVS and if you got Kendrick Bourne, you now have your X, your Z, and your slot good. Now, where does Russell Gage? Russell Gage can run slot. Russell Gage can run X. Russell Gage can run Z. He's played all three positions at different points in the NFL. So that's your four, and anything you get from Juwan Jennings, who's still not practicing, by the way, is just bonus. So, yes, I do think that the 49ers should bring in Kendrick Bourne, but again, is Kendrick Bourne younger? No. Is he cheaper? No. You might be able to get him for cheap because New England's paying so much, but, yeah, if you can get Kendrick Bourne, you bring him in a heartbeat. At worst, he's your number four or five, and there's nothing wrong with that. And vibes, you know, obviously knows everybody in the building, all those different things. So, yes, bring in Kendrick Bourne. The fact that it costs you nothing. Again, 49ers weren't willing to trade for him. And that contract was pretty – I'm curious. I want to look this up because I do think that this plays a role. Oops, that's not what I wanted. Let's look up Kendrick Bourne. What was his contract? The history was – yeah, I mean, he got paid. He's made $27.2 million. He's made over 2.5 times what Juwan Jennings has made. He's not as good as Juwan Jennings. He's 30 years old and just got released. He had a $7.7 million cap hit for the, what's it called? So, yeah, that was huge. He signed a $19.5 million contract value. Yeah, 3-year, $19.5 million is what he got. And did not live up to that at all. But you could get him because he's getting paid. That dude's getting paid from the Patriots. So the 49ers could just supplement that, do a little bit more than a league minimum, and you could add in some, you know, any type of, look, you this many catches or this many snaps, those different qualifiers to get paid extra because they won't go under the LTBE, the likely to be earned portion of the contract, which means they won't count against the cap this year because he had such a bad year last year. The way that unlikely to be earned and likely to be earned works is you look at what they did last year, and if it's over that, then it doesn't count against this year's cap. Now, if they hit that, then it counts against next year's cap. But let's be honest, Kendrick Bourne is a stopgap for the first half of the year. And you look at what he did last year, he played in 12 games, had 28 catches, 305 yards, 2 touchdowns. So if I'm the cap specialist and say, look, we're going to pay you league minimum, but we're going to give you bonuses for 35 catches, which he didn't hit last year, 350 yards, which he didn't hit last year, and 3 touchdowns, which he didn't hit last year, which means all those extras, all those bonuses don't count against this year's cap. If he hits them, they count against next year's cap. Does that make sense? So that way we roll it forward, worst case. Best case, he plays to the level that we want him at, and then we're good. And yeah, you pay for that. Then I think you pay for that. And Jordan, I like this right here. Russell Gage may get signed when Cowan goes on IR. Gentleman's agreement, possibly. That makes a lot of sense. Russell Gage, literally the team is sitting there saying, hey, we want him out there week one. We want him out there week one. That's kind of where that goes. Right here, Harry, does anyone know what time Shanahan Lynch are speaking to the media? No, they haven't posted anything, and they'll start it halfway through, and whenever they do start, it's going to be muted. I have no clue. It's like bring your son to work every single day there in that media department. It's so frustrating. Like I used to set my schedule my entire like day around those, but I just can't do it anymore whenever they don't take it serious. It's just, but whenever it happens, it happens. I've not seen anything posted. Doesn't mean it's not out there, but I used to depend on that all the damn time, but I don't anymore. I just don't. Like, if they're not going to take it serious, then I'm not going to either. And I hate that it's like that, but it's just that I've wasted so much of my time for them just to postpone it 2 hours, then not air it. And then they do air it, and there's not even volume. It's just, whatever. I'm just like, no, anyway. But whenever it happens, it happens. Now, let's talk. Couple of answers, question. David, any word on Corey Kiner? Corey Kiner was released on IR with an injury designation, which means he was not picked up, which means he reverts back to the 49ers injured reserve. He cannot play for the 49ers this year. Now, what happens in these situations is one of two things. The 49ers can say, sorry, Corey, you're on our team the whole time. Or they can say, we're going to release you on an injury settlement, which kicks the 49ers back a little extra cash, and then he could go sign with somebody else. Corey Kiner cannot play for the 49ers this year at any time. If you go on IR reserve for any point before that 53-man roster is set, you cannot come back. You cannot come back. Now, you can release him on an injury settlement, which is probably going to happen. He can play for somebody else, but that's my guess for what's going to happen with Corey Kiner. Yeah, I'm seeing the 2 p.m. It seems like that's set. So you got about an hour and a half for the 49ers scheduled press release. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what that was. And again, why is Russell Gage not on the practice squad? No Dallas Flowers, no Russell Gage. There's still three spots open on the 49ers practice squad. Again, Junior Bergen, Sebastian Valdez, Travis Gibson, Curtis Robinson, Sincere McCormick, Eli Apple, William Bradley King. All those are there. Jalen Graham, Robbie Chosen, Drake Nugent, Malik Turner, Braden Willis, and Nick Zakel. Nick Zakel. This is the one I want to talk about because you got him back, but is he going to play week one? Ooh, right after this.
Your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. So this season, stop celebrating like it's 2009 and start betting like it's 2025. Whether you're hammering spreads, chasing the lines, riding money shot parlays, my favorite, teasers are my favorite bet ever. And like, I just tell people this all the time. You're betting with the odds and with the house instead of against it. Check out teasers if you haven't done it. It's our specialty, and it's where we make most of our money. But MyBookie is your one-stop sportsbook and casino in one. So one account, one wallet. You bet football all weekend, then you want to play slots. You want to play blackjack. It's all. You don't have to switch apps, no jumping platforms, just straight-up action. And if you're new to MyBookie, man, they've got a new huge promo. Use our code 49ers, 49ERS, on your first bet, up to $500, it's fully covered. So you make your play. If it doesn't hit, you get it right back with a bet back bonus. No stress. And it comes with just a one-time rollover on return bet. So you're free to reload and keep firing. If you don't know about reloads, ask them their customer service. Trust me, that is there. But again, a one-time rollover, that is huge. So sign up at mybookie.ag. Code 49ers, 49ERS, claim your bet back bonus. Make this football season the one where bragging rights come with a bankroll. My bookies, where bettors win together, because bragging's good, but cashing in is better.
Now, just quick reminder, our season-long betting series will be posted. Again, that's over on the 49ersrush.com. That is a Jerry Rice tier and above all of our bets that we do weekly throughout the season. But probably our biggest is our season-long bet. We did very well with it last year, not for the 49ers, but for our other bets. Those are posted probably in the next 10 days. I'm going to spend the next handful of days going through and setting up kind of my bets and where they are. Then I pay attention to where the odds are and all those things. So if you want to bet with us, you know, we don't bet a lot. I'm a big Tony Gwynn bettor. I believe in singles. I don't do like the triple parlays and all that stuff. Yeah, we like base hits. We like getting paid and we like turning over revenue. So if you want to bet with us, the way to do that is Patreon and the 49ersrush.com, that Jerry Rice tier and above. We post all of our bets every single week. Those are there. And we bet what we know. I bet a lot of 49ers and, you know, a lot of teaser bets, which are probably my favorite. So I'm getting a lot of questions when I'm going to post my season long. Give me a week. I want to go through all the rosters, flesh out some things, see what, you know, shakes out with all these IR designations and stuff and go from there. But yeah, that will be there as well. So let's talk Nick Zakil. Because right here, Joe, Zakil is going to take Moss's spot. Kyle and Chris Forrester are bozos. Zakil sucks. I do think that Nick Zakil would start over Drew Moss early this season. You kept Moss over Zakil. That was awesome. That is growth. That is growth from the 49ers organization. Considerable growth that you went with the youth upside over the veteran that knows the system that everybody likes. That's Brock's roommate. That is Kyle Shede and Chris Forrester's adopted child. Like, I get that. Now, the difference is if you need somebody week one, which Ben Bartsch has been hurt, Dominic Pooney has been hurt. You have to have two guards. Connor Colby would be the one. I do think Nick Zakil would, I would take Nick Zakil earlier over Drew Moss because of the consistency in pass protection. Now, Drew Moss is a way better player, but he also, whenever he played up against the twos and threes, struggled. And it's not like he was perfect either. So kind of get used to this. If you have to have a guard play, I think Connor Colby would be one, and then I think Nick Zakil would be two. Drew Moss is for the long term. I just think that that's just the way that it's going to be, especially early on. Whether that's the right call or not, it's what it is. And you kept Matt Hennessy, who could snap at center, and that makes it a little bit easy. RTP, what's up, Matthew? Valdezzi Fashizi. I absolutely love that. Zakil never should have made the team. I don't mind on the practice squad. Giant dude getting pancaked is embarrassing. He was Brock's roommate, buddy. Yeah, his pass pro is good. Now, he does suck in run blocking. His pass pro was consistently good also in the preseason. Dude blows up run plays like nobody's business. Yeah, right here. Moss is a project that isn't ready. Thank you, Cal Chipto. 100% agree there. I do agree. Yeah, Robbie Chosen. He's back. The gift that keeps on giving, man. It's what it is. Jeb, yeah, this player likes playing experienced scrubs. 100%. Jake Brindle is exactly that. Yeah, he's better than scrub, but he was a career-long scrub and five-year practice squatter before he started for us, and then it was what it is. Yeah, Jeff Wilson's gone, buddy. I hate to tell you that, Papa J. He signed with the Dolphins. He is gone. Sorry about that. Drew Moss filled in nicely when Pooney went down. I love Drew Moss. I would love the interior offensive line to eventually be Dominic Pooney, Connor Colby, and Drew Moss. However you want to shake them at center, whatever else, like, nothing would make me happier if those guys could develop and you have that youth on the inside. Wow. But I don't think we're there yet. Getting a lot of the Lakin Vakalahani. I'm sure I said that wrong. Vakalahai. He's Jordan Mailata clone. I don't think he's a Jordan Mailata. He's huge. Yeah, I get that. He's athletic. But the 49ers kept four tackles. And I was kind of shocked that they didn't claim, you know, Esipola got claimed early before the 49ers had the opportunity. So they didn't even get the chance for that. But there are other, you know, tackles out there that were not putting claims. They seem happy with their four tackles. There is not an offensive tackle on the practice squad. And probably another one that's crazy to me, there's not a quarterback. There is not a quarterback. Now, you got to have a quarterback three. Shanahan literally created the rule for having three quarterbacks. You're going to have one. But who's it going to? I still think it's going to be Shane Buechele if you can get him. There's lots of guys out there that kind of fit the type of quarterback you want. Can't be Tanner Mordecai. Can't be Carter Bradley because those guys they're on injured reserve. They're done for the 49ers this year. That's where that is. So, Kendrick Bourne hasn't been picked up yet because he's a veteran. He gets to negotiate where he goes. So he's not subject to waiver claims. And so, like, MVS has agreed to terms with the 49ers. That hasn't signed yet. They haven't done the physical yet. Same thing with Chaz Surratt. Same thing with Jeff Wilson. Same thing with, like, the process for them. When a player is waived and claimed, don't have their 4 years veteran service in the NFL, that's instantaneous. You literally submit the waiver claim and it processes like fantasy football. Free agents that get to pick their team, they got to go negotiate a contract. You got to do per game roster bonus, signing bonus, whatever incentives you want to add. You got to do a physical. You got to do all that. So that's where we're at. So JM, who are the starters at wide receiver in our current situation? Ricky Pearsall at Z, MVS at X, which he's played his entire career. And then, Juwan Jennings is still not practicing, so I'm not going to say him. I think it's going to be Jordan Walken, Sky Moore would be that wide receiver three. I mean, there's no other options. You only have four wide receivers on your roster right now. Just that's it. Ricky Pearsall, Sky Moore, Jordan Walken, Juwan Jennings. And MVS isn't even officially signed yet. But then you look at the practice squad. Junior Bergen, no. Robbie Chosen, and, he's had some good reps. That's not good. Malik Turner, maybe. But probably going to be Robbie Chosen right now, and that sucks. I'll continue to say the 49ers have the worst wide receiver core in the NFL for week one, and that's with MVS, and that's if you get Kendrick Bourne as well. Still the worst. It just ain't it. Sudfeld showed up and got hurt the very first day in practice. Par for course for this 49ers season. Literally got hurt throwing the ball against air. Literally. Kawa Chipto says Logan Brown likely off the 49ers board. He had some offseason issues, off the field issues. Yeah, Leroy Watson, familiar with the scheme. Holland Pierce, meh. S.A. Pohl was the guy I wanted, but they're sticking with what they got. They're rolling with the four tackles they got. Austin Pleasance, they're high on. Spencer Burford, they're high on. I am kind of shocked that there's not an offensive tackle on the practice squad, though. Like, you could get somebody to develop. But again, no Dallas Flowers, no Russell Gage on the practice squad currently. And I do agree with this, Mike. This is the second part to my arguments on wide receivers. It's just an issue the first 3 weeks of the season. That issue is solved when Brandon Ayuk comes back, when DeMarcus Robinson. If you told me right now the 1 and 2 wide receiver for the 49ers is DeMarcus Robinson and Ricky Pearsall, I'll take it. That is serviceable. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson has been quarterback proof all of camp, all of preseason. That dude, yeah, I'll take that in a heartbeat. Now you sprinkle in a healthy Juwan Jennings. We don't know if we'll ever get that. Sprinkle in a healthy Brandon Ayuk. I think you get that kind of week 10, 11, 12, that he's back, week 13, 14, 15. Now you're hoping he's Ayuk old, right? The Ayuk of old. Yeah, Mike, well said. Wide receiver is a short-term problem. The problem is you have two division games in the first 3 weeks. That's the problem. Logan, why was Evan Anderson waived? He was waived for their new guy, Jordan Jefferson, that I think would argue is a little bit more consistent and offers a little bit more in pass rush. Not a pass rusher. He's a run stuffer, but he is a better pass rusher than Evan Anderson is. Evan Anderson has struggled with consistency since coming back from the injury. Now, you have 3 spots left on your practice squad. If Evan Anderson clears waivers, I do think you bring him back, but you do have William Bradley King. You do have Sebastian Valtez. You do have Travis Gibson already on that practice squad. Man. Whew. Cal Chipto Pleasance will be cut and put on practice squad. I hope so. Not that I hope that anybody gets cut. I want to make money, but I don't think he's a scheme fit, but they love him. Nobody picked up Logan Brown. I have not seen that yet, unless he's been on a practice squad, which I have not tracked every single team's practice squad signings. I'm trying to, and I'm constantly refreshing. So if something pertinent comes up, I'll let you know. Simeon Barrow, I liked a lot. But Sebastian Valdez is everything you wanted Simeon Barrow Jr. to be out of Miami. You have that. Sebastian Valdez is that more. The double dipping there, we'll see. Thoughts about moving Garrido to wide receiver? God, no. But who are the kick returners? Let's talk about that. Because, you know, if you're right here, Tobias is Bourne or MVS, punt or kick returners? Not really. You can put Marquez Valdez-Scantling back there as a kick returner, probably not punt returner. Has he done? Let me see here. I want to double check and just see if he has any returns in his NFL career. Yeah, he's got one kickoff return for 21 yards in his career. Zero. Yeah, that's about what I would expect. No, so your punt returner is Sky Moore, period. Your kickoff returner, which you have to have two, I think you're kicking back Isaac Garrido now. Now, the fumble issues are a major concern, but allow him to be your number two. I'm cool. Like, you got to have somebody back there. You got it. I mean, shoot, let's look through the roster. Who else could be a kick returner? Jordan James, if he's healthy, Isaac Garrido. You can put Jordan Watkins back there because he's not going to contribute much. And Jordan Watkins would be your backup punt returner and kickoff returner as well. So I think Jordan Watkins is going to be back there with Sky Moore. But you've got to bring on Russell Gage. You've got to. And then maybe some of the cornerbacks. Nah, none of those guys. Yeah, like you are hurting. You are hurting at returner, even though you just traded for a returner. Kendrick Bourne ain't going to help. I mean, good Lord. Jordan Watkins, you got to put back there. Isaac Garrido, Jordan James. I think those are probably your three. Gosh. They're struggling at returner. They're light there. And maybe you even call up Junior Bergen. All right, we got some more questions and answers right after this.
Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush Road Trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
All right, Papa J, I like this. He says, if we're depleted in the wide receiver room, I would much rather have CMC out there as the wide receiver and Robinson take over running back one position. I think they have to work some of these reps with what you have in that wide receiver room, or at least what you don't have. You know, and you could even do it in special ways where you motion out of into that empty set, which I hate. Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, love empty sets. I hate that. But, yeah, man, why can't you do some Brian Robinson and Christian McCaffrey in the backfield, then motion Christian McCaffrey out of the back? You did it with Debo and CMC. It's in the playbook. Brock knows it. CMC knows it. Those are some things that you could do, and you have time. You have 2 weeks, and you're playing against Seattle, which, let's be very frank and very honest, like, you know what Seattle does. You know what Seattle does with Mike McDonald. So there is time. The problem is just, good Lord, you're cycling so many players through at positions where it's just, the good news is you got a brand new MVS, which playing wide receiver for the 49ers is difficult. But again, he's coming over from Clint Kubiak in Seattle. Same verbiage, same motions, same route concepts. So that's there. But rest assured, there's going to be a lot of 12, 21, and 22 personnel. Filthy Casual. Flowers could have been a returner. Yeah, he was with the first team return team all preseason, all camp. I don't know why Flowers is still out there. I don't know why the 40. You have three spots. I think Flowers is pissed because he earned a practice spot, or he earned a roster spot. But it's what it is. I mean, you chose Darrell Luter Jr. over him. That makes no sense based off of play. At all. None. And so, yeah, maybe he's upset and just like, screw that. I am not. I already earned my spot there. They didn't, you know, honor the play on the field. You're way better than Luter every single game, every single practice. Luter was the worst player on the field. But I don't know. I don't know the reason. Yeah, Junior Bergen's on the practice squad. So let's go over the practice squad rules so that we just are kind of up to date with what can happen, okay? 16-player practice squad, technically 17 with the International Player Pathway Program, but Isaac Alarcon, who is a backup tackle, he's suspended the first 6 weeks for performance-enhancing drugs. So that doesn't count. So you 16 spots, right? You can have six veterans with 10. You can have six. You don't have to have six. So let's count the veterans that they have. Curtis Robinson, 1. Sincere McCormick, 2. Eli Apple, 3. Robbie Chosen, 4. Malik Turner, 5. Oh, so that's the thing. There's no room in Nick Sakel. Like, Russell Gage, you can't have another vet on the practice squad. So, Russell Gage, I am assuming when Jacob Cowan goes to IR, Russell Gage gets brought in. Evan Anderson already has a practice squad spot available. You have three available. That's one. A quarterback is 2, which leaves one spot. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's Dallas Flowers, and then you cut one of your corners. That doesn't compute. That doesn't make sense in my head. I'm struggling with that. Now, you can elevate a player. You can be elevated 3 times, right? So, like, let's just say you keep. Let's just throw Nick Sakel out there for whatever reason to piss people off. Let's say you elevate Nick Sakel 1 week. You can elevate a player 3 times, but you can only elevate 2 players per game. Maybe you do elevate Junior Bergen and just say, hey, you're a backup punt returner and you're our number 2 kickoff returner. You might do that. I wouldn't do that. He does play wide receiver, but I think right now you can only elevate 2 players. You got to elevate a running back, and you're probably going to elevate Nick Sakel. I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like it. But this is kind of where the 49ers are. This is where it is. It's rough. John, what week do you expect growing pains to be done and the team starts to gel? Oh, I want to say like week 4 or 5. It's going to take time. Defensively, it's going to take time. Now, the good news is you're not playing experienced quarterbacks. I mean, you're playing Sam Darnold week 1 in a new scheme behind a bad offensive line. You're playing Spencer Rattler week 2. Yeah, you're playing Kyler Murray week 3. Week 4, you got the Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence. And then week 5, now you've got McVay. And if healthy at that point, Matthew Stafford. That's where it gets dicey. Week 6, Baker, he could splice you up. Penix. Week 7, youthful quarterback, C.J. Stroud, he can dice you up. Week 10, Stafford, he can get you. Kyler Murray, no. Bryce Young, week 12, no. Whoever the hell the Browns are putting out there, no. Tennessee Titans, Cam Ward after bye week, no. Colts, Daniel Jones, yeah, right. Bears, Caleb Williams, no. And then Sam Darnold, week 18, might be able to get to it. So that week 5... Weeks 4, 5, 6 are your most experienced quarterbacks, but Trevor Lawrence, Matthew Stafford, and then Baker Mayfield. That's the veteran thing. So, yeah, you're young and you're not gelled, but that kind of matches. Sam Darnold, brand new team. Spencer Rattler and Kyler Murray can't see it over, you know, the counter. Like, yeah, you're good. Now, when Kyler's on, he's on. And if that running game gets going, then you got to watch out. But it matches. The youthful, inexperienced roster the 49ers are putting out there matches the competition level. You have the easiest schedule in the NFL. I'm just going to be real. You're in one of the worst divisions in the NFL. Doesn't mean somebody is going to be, you know, come out and surprise. It happens every single year. But yeah, those young DTs, that is a concern for me. Whoever your number three and four corner are, that is a major concern for me. Leon Sandcastle, MVS will keep defenses honest. Spread out the defense, create space for Kittle, Pearsall, CMC. Yeah, I'm going to keep saying this. Week one through three, heavy CMC, heavy Kittle, heavy Pearsall. Those are your three triangle offense, baby. Like, that's where it's going through those guys. You run clear out routes. Like, I wish people watch film more often. You've got a streaker, Will Ferrell, baby. We're going streaking. MVS is that guy. Like, you clear out. You run right at the safety. You occupy your corner, and you occupy the safety that creates all that underneath stuff. And you have to respect MVS's deep speed. Like, he's not a good football player. He is a track guy. But you better believe, like, when that dude's out there, yeah, I want to look up his measurements. I'm sure I spelled it wrong. Let's see here. Yep, sure did. Spelled it wrong every single one. I mean, God, 6'4", 206, ran a 4.3. He's a vertical threat. Now, Brock Purdy doesn't throw the best deep ball. It's a catchable deep ball, usually underthrown. But Brock Purdy can throw the deep ball now. He can. Last year, a little too much. But you've got to respect that. You just have to. Now, all the work's going to be done intermediate and whatever else, and anything that you get stat-wise from MVS is just extra. Man, the Browns just signed Bailey Zappe? Yeah, they did, man. They're just going to keep adding quarterbacks. Somebody got to work out for him eventually, man. Good Lord, that's crazy. But is this a quality wide receiver that should be starting the NFL? Probably not, but that's not what you're looking for. You've got to have play setters, and he is an NFL player that could step in. That's just what it is. Right here, why bring Eli Apple back to the practice squad, not Dallas Flowers? I don't know. I think Dallas Flowers is pissed, personally. I would be, too. He should have won it. Luter has black belt tape on him. I just cannot believe it. Yeah, favoritism over talent, 100%. 100%. It hurts whenever it isn't a meritocracy. Zakel isn't a vet yet. There we go. Yeah, I'd have to go through and count their accrued years for everybody. The rule is 2 years of experience. You have to have the accrued status, four games played to get that. So a vet is anybody with more than 2 years to qualify. You get six vets. So Curtis Robinson, Sincere McCormick, I'm not sure if he's on there. Eli Apple for sure. Robbie Chosen for sure. Jalen Graham, not sure. Malik Turner is. Braden Willis, not sure. Nick Sakel, not sure. So you might have a little bit of room, but you have three spots. You can make that work. Again, I don't have time to look up all those players and their numbers. But and yeah, Coward Chipto, I said CJ Stroud and whatnot, but like Houston, I'm a little concerned about, especially early. But we don't play them early. Oh, what's up, Sin? I hope you enjoy your lunchtime. Sin's out there making the world a better place. We really appreciate all you do. You are freaking awesome. Now, let's see here. 95, he's not playing for us anymore. Let's see. Frank the Tank, baby. Yeah, MVS 4.37, 40-yard dash. Speed, speed, speed. Speed, 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 man. it matters. It really, really does. When veterans are released by decent teams, I have a sneaky suspicion they've fallen off. Sometimes people go with the youth movement. Sometimes contracts play into that as well. You want to go cheaper. You want to give the young uprising, whatever, more snaps. 49ers don't fall into that regard because you don't have wide receivers to take snaps away from. You don't have wide receivers to take snaps. Jordan Watkins isn't even fully practicing yet. Jacob Cowing's not doing it for another 6 weeks. Juwan Jennings not practicing either. That's the thing where it gets rough. That's where it gets rough. Papa Jay, John, do you think Luke Farrell will be more of a receiving threat than people realize? I doubt it. He did get some targets, didn't he, in the preseason and did okay. You know, has no receiving touchdowns in his career. But I think you brought him in to help blocking and allow Kittle to be the guy. But outlets are needed. And if he could just be an outlet guy and a hot route read guy, because he's going to be matched up with backers almost nonstop. Seattle doesn't have the best backers. They really, really don't. And so, yeah, you could get some hot reads. Mike McDonald blitzes like crazy. And so those would be where Luke Farrell will be utilized. And so I'd be cool with that. I'd be cool with that. Let's see here. Yeah, I want 22 personnel nonstop. That's one wide receiver. So you got two tight ends, two backs, and Ricky Pearsall. Yeah. Let's go wing T, baby. Student body right. Yeah, I'm in. 49ers could use it. No doubt about it. Lot of 12. Lot of 21. I doubt you're going to see any 11 personnel, three wide receiver sets in the first 3 weeks, which is crazy. Maybe third and 18 or whatever, but still. We'll see. Let's see. Or going through just a couple more comments. You guys are the best. Really do appreciate you guys. Yeah, right here. Not going to lie. If Jordan Watkins could play during that three-game stretch, I'd be tolerable with that. And so here's kind of the paradox. Shanahan doesn't like trusting young wide receivers. You have nobody else to trust. Jordan Watkins was great during minicamp, was great during early training camp till he got hurt. But is he reliable? You heard the Brock Purdy comments about Ricky Pearsall last year where it's like, man, I don't have the trust because he's not breaking in front of the corners at the time that I need him to. He's focusing a little too much on, you know, whatever. It's timing. I need you to be a certain spot. Can Jordan Watkins buck that trend? Well, he hasn't even been practicing. Makes it difficult, but who the hell else you going to play? You got to play somebody. I would not be shocked if Jordan Watkins is out there kickoff return and special teams and all those things. Give him some simple routes, some slants, which, man, he has been great at slants. He breaks in front of the corner every time. I love that. And so, again, that's that trust factor. And, you know, Jordan Watkins was my least favorite pick. But, dude, balled out minicamp. I was wrong. I don't even care. Big Brick, have you seen the video of Jordan Jefferson at the Senior Bowl ripping it? Yeah, I just retweeted it. I just put it out there. The new defensive tackle that the 49ers just signed, Jordan Jefferson, again, film breakdown is up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. Go check it out. You want to know about him? We got a new player on the team, baby. I love it. He plays with a mean streak. You'll see him pushing people after the play. You'll see him standing over it. Like, he is an attitude problem. I don't mind that in my defensive players. Like, I like a little bit of a nasty in him, and he's got that. I mean, 49ers, they love Senior Bowl players. Played relatively well at the Senior Bowl. I remember that. And again, you know, my write-up just on the film breakdown this week or this morning on defensive tackle Jordan Jefferson, another big-bodied run stuffer. Loves to two-gap, plays under his pads, not behind them. Gap integrity is his best trait. Can lose early, but still win the rep. Not a lot to offer in the pass rush other than just collapsing and pushing the pocket. Pad level and trying to see the play cost him too awful. Great hustle player. Which will be more effective this year, 12 or 21? I'm going 12. Kyle Juszczyk, he's going to get his 20 plays. I want to be in 12. I want Luke Farrell out there because of the run game. I want to run the ball more. I think you can be more effective in that in 12 personnel with the two tight ends than you can 21 with Kyle Juszczyk. Not that you can't be effective in that. I want Luke Farrell getting 35 snaps. I want Kyle Juszczyk getting 25 snaps. Does that make sense? Like, that's the way that I want it. That's the way that I want it. Right here, 49ers, that's why Evan Anderson is gone. Jordan Jefferson took his job. Sure as hell did. Mark, appreciate you, Mark. Everyone is talking about wide receivers. They might have to get schemed over, but DTs look suspect to me. You got to rotate them. You got bodies. You just got to rotate them and hope the youth, and you got to go through the learning curves. The good news is you're not playing a quality offensive line. Weeks 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, week 5 you do. Week 6 you do. Week 7 you do. But week 1, 2, 3, 4, you're not playing against quality offensive line. So it's going to be bad on bad. And hopefully that could change a little bit. Notorious. Watkins looks like he could be taking a big step into year 2 like Ayuk did. Yeah, it's going to be available for him. It's going to be available for him. Can he do it? 3 wide sets with Kittle and CMC at the wide receiver positions. Juice at tight end is going to be glorious. Yes, that is exactly what we need. Monkey. Kyle had the luxury of not having to play young guys in the past. This year is going to force him to at least get some reps for the young guys. Going to have to grin and bear it. It's a lot of those first few games. It's going to be a learning curve. And they're like, the problem with rookies and youth is consistency. It's not the highlights. You get the highlights with youth. It's the major errors that the Niners call it MAs. Can't have MAs, missed assignments. That is the problem whenever it comes down to like youth. So we'll see there. Would you take a look at Melo Dotson? I liked Melo. I liked him more than his teammate Kobe, who just signed, but not with the Niners. Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with it, but it looks like they're going veteran backups, right? You look at the corners, you brought in Eli Apple. Like, that's your practice squad guy. But shoot, man, you kept freaking Darrell Luter Jr. out there on this damn team. I don't know why. I might as well put him out there and let everybody. When you're getting picked on in the third preseason game by the fourth quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, that should tell you something. Picking on him. You're talking like 4 straight targets. There is a giant bullseye on number 28's jersey every practice I've been through, every preseason game I've been to. Whoever's on him is open 7-11. He had 1 pass breakup. Now, Darrell Luter Jr. is good at special teams when he's not causing fumbles in the Super Bowl or in the regular season multiple times. But he's good at run support. I can't say that. Reese, John, now that the roster is kind of sorted, what is your win-loss for this year? Oh. Coaching staff, blue chip players, schedule, say 12 wins. Youth, lack of depth, and one of the smallest payrolled rosters. You know, you talk about the dead money. You talk about like you got a lot of players playing for pennies on this roster, and I think it shows. No depth. You get a couple injuries at some positions. Like, you don't have the answers on this team. You do not have them on your current roster. You don't have them on the practice squad either. So the depth, lack of depth, the youth that you're depending on, that says, man, 7 wins, right? So, like, those are the brackets. And this might be true for a lot of teams in the NFL where, like, look, if everything goes right, 12-5 is a very realistic possibility. You're not playing any quality teams or any quality quarterbacks. You're really, really not. You have the favorable schedule. You have great coaching staff, and you've got several Hall of Famers or would-be Hall of Famers on this team. You got 5. And your quarterback, man, that 12 wins, that's possible. A defensive tackle room is about as unproven as possible be. The cornerback room, yikes. Like, yeah, you got Demo. He's awesome. No doubt about it. Top 10 corner in the NFL. Renardo Green didn't finish 4 games last year. Already been banged up in training camp. He looks awesome every time he's out there. Can he stay healthy? Upton Stout has not taken 1 snap, not 1, against another team. Missed the entire preseason. And you're relying on him to step out. Now, Chase Lucas should probably start week 1 because he's got the veteran experience. But Chase Lucas is an NFL journeyman that you got for penny, like for free. And then after that, like, Dallas Flowers should be the next cornerback. He's not on this roster. Niners disagree with me. They want to see Darrell Luter Jr. out there. They want to see Robbie Chosen get snaps and Eli Apple. Like, So, if I had to predict, it's between that 7 wins and 12 wins. Things go bad, 7's a possibility. This schedule is going to benefit you a lot, though. The coaching staff is going to benefit you a lot, though. Man, I think 9-8 would probably be like 9-8 is probably where it, right in the middle. Probably 10-7. 10-7, I feel more comfortable with. The Vegas line's 10.5, right? So if you want to bet, go to my bookie, use promo code 49ers, throw $500 down, and you get a bet buyback. If it doesn't go through, you get your money back. You get to bet it again. It's got one-time rollover on it. Go check it out. Mybookie.ag. You can bet anywhere. If you're dead set on the Niners getting 11 wins, now the problem with those season-long bets is that money's tied up for the entire season, so you got to be careful there. But, yeah, you go with where you want. I think 10-7. I'm not going to bet the under, but 10-7 would be my roster prediction. Now, again, I'm not a bootlicker. I'm not going to sit here and say Super Bowl after every single move. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, we're dog trash. We're not making the playoffs. I think the 49ers make the playoffs this year. I think that they're in a bad division, and they have the easiest schedule. And again, those five borderline Hall of Famer players and your quarterback and coaching staff and schedule, just got to stay healthy, man. You got to stay healthy. Reese, how big of a role is CMC going to play behind, or is Robinson going to play behind CMC? I'll tell you this, probably not a lot week one and two. But here's what I'm going to do in my fantasy leagues. Wait until weeks one or two, then go get Brian Robinson because his role is going to increase. He just got with the Niners. He's got 2 weeks of practice. His role will grow. Probably not going to get a lot out of him week one and two, if I'm going to be honest. The Notorious GAV, 10-7 and one playoff win is my minimum. I'll take that. Niners haven't done that in, I think, 24 years. They've either not made the playoffs or they made it to the NFC Championship. I don't want to say we're not a Super Bowl. If you make it to the playoffs, you can win the Super Bowl. You got to make the tournament. I'm not a Super Bowl or bust guy, and no coach I have ever met has thought in that way. Ever. Again, I coached for a decade in Texas. Like, I get it. I'm not a career-long coach and whatever else. There was never a time where coaches are like, state championship. We got a state championship team. And I coached at Duncanville, who's won, shoot, back-to-back state championships in the past 3 years. Like, the most difficult division in high school sports, they've won it twice. And they've lost it twice in the past 5 years. Like, they're there every single freaking year, right? That is not a mindset that players, coaches, if you're around football, you don't think about that. Win the division, get in the tournament, then let's cause some problems. Like, that is the mindset. So, like, this is a fan thing. This is the Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, you know, all those douchebags that just like don't even watch sports. They just have interns write opinions and spit them out on AI. They get up there on whatever thing and they're just like, oh, Brock Purdy is a system quarterback. Don't even watch it. You see Stephen A. Smith playing Tetris and Bubble Burst or whatever. Like, he's not even watching the basketball or football. They don't watch it. Like, they don't coach. They don't play. That's not reality for the way football works. It's not. It's 1 week at a time. We have a chance to win this game no matter who we play against if we execute the game plan and we do these things. 49ers are good at that. That's why Kyle Shanahan has an 8-4 playoff record, which is damn near Hall of Fame worthy already. But he's never won the Super Bowl. But you got to get there. You got to get in the playoffs, and then you got to make things happen. Get to the playoffs, make things happen. You play with a good defense and a strong run game, you can win in the playoffs. Shanahan's proven that. That is the way. It's so even the years in 2023 or 2022 or whatever, like, I'm sorry, I'm not a Super Bowl roster. I do you have a playoff roster? No, the 49ers don't. But they have a crazy good schedule. They have crazy good coaching staff, and they have five potential Hall of Famers with a quality quarterback. Is that enough to carry them to the playoffs? Yes. If they had the same schedule they had last year, probably not going to make it. That's my opinion. And, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm looking at the chat. I haven't looked in a while. I'm sure people are mad at me. right here, I'm going to temper my expectations with this team. I think that's fine. Yeah, you stay healthy, you can win a Super Bowl, but like that's not the way teams build it. It's just not. 49ers will only get stronger as the year goes on. That is true. So make the playoffs and anything can happen. That is, yes, I do believe that. I do believe that. Thomas, I didn't realize Robinson had 4 receiving touchdowns this season. I hope Shanahan can give him at least 730 split. Eventually, maybe. Probably not early on. Sin says, I'll be happy to make the playoffs again. If 49ers don't make the playoffs, is Kyle on the hot seat? I think the hot seat starts. You don't make the playoffs this year. Now, a lot of this is Jed, you know, pinch of pennies. That was a big deal, but like, this was a reset. But you kept your studs. You extended your studs so that you could have a run. Kyle ain't going nowhere. And I hate to say this, but even if you go 6-11 again, Kyle's not being fired at all. Not going to be fired at all. Like, look at guys like Mike McDaniel, who I love. Dude has no playoff wins, no division titles, still coaching several years later. The leash that these coaches get nowadays is different. Kyle Shanahan would be the most coveted coach in the NFL if he was ever released. I'm not saying that's what you're saying, but like, no, and that ain't this show. Like, that's not what we do here. Like, it's not going anywhere. He ain't going anywhere, guys. Now, you do 2 more years of that, then sure, for sure. But no, we're not there. Monkey Boy, I'd be happy just going 2-1 by week 3, given the wide receiver room. So glad we have this coaching staff, because if not, well said. There's some good stuff. Appreciate the kind words, Mark. You are the man. You are the man. So anyway, Kyle will win a Super Bowl eventually. Yeah. And people, the funny thing is, whenever you ask people like, okay, well, you don't want Kyle Shanahan, who do you want? The first name they're going to say is, well, look, Andy Reid. Andy Reid had to coach 20 plus years in the NFL before he won a Super Bowl. Andy Reid had to have the best quarterback in the NFL before he won the Super Bowl. So like, the example that people give for why Kyle shouldn't be the head coach is the dumbest damn example ever. Because Kyle's never had the best quarterback in the NFL, hasn't coached 20 plus years yet like Andy Reid did before he got his. They're like, well, you had to fire Andy Reid before he went and won a Super Bowl. Again, never won the Super Bowl until he had the best quarterback in the NFL. Andy Reid is a great coach. Unbelievable coach. But you ain't getting Andy Reid. You couldn't even get his defensive coordinator, which you tried to do 2 years ago. So, like, you're not getting Andy Reid. You're not getting Ben Johnson. You're not, like, you don't get those guys. So, it's not so much. Anyway, I don't know why I let you guys bait me into this. Yeah, right here. Andy Reid also lost 3 Super Bowls. Yep. Yep. That's just the way it goes. If Kyle is gone, it would have to be Saleh. Yeah. I always want an offensive-minded head coach that helps my quarterback. There is nobody better than that than Kyle Shanahan. There's nobody better than that. I'll take that as well. And yeah, Reed has the best defensive coordinator in football. Steve Spagnuolo is unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, we got a practice squad, ladies and gents. Let me just refresh and make sure I'm not missing any new news. And it does not appear to say so. The Patriots have now officially released Kendrick Bourne. So he is out. And that's where we are. I hope the 49ers bring him in. I really, really do. I also hope we get Dallas Flowers and Russell Gage back, and Evan Anderson back. That's a lot of wants, but I'm hoping that goes down. Appreciate you guys. You are awesome. Go check out the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. Go watch new defensive tackle, Jordan Jefferson. Fun tape. And, man, you see what he is. And he's consistent, which I like. And he has game experience, which I also like. But for us in the 49ers Rush podcast, appreciate you guys. And as always, stay strong, faithful.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.